Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Men in Blazers ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today. Get in on all the sports action and your chance to win up to 100 times your cash with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Download the app today. Use code MIB for a first deposit match up to $100. This episode is supported by FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League Two after 15 long seasons of exile in the National League. Dedicated staff and passionate supporters celebrate the city's return to glory, the big time, all while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in that higher league. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenge and rise again into League One's promised land? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu. You're listening to the Men in Blazers Media Network. Suboptimal Radio.
Here we go, Sophia Smith! First international goal for the 21-year-old, and it's a beauty. 2-0, United States.
It's Rog. Back with another episode of The Women's Game, presented by Paramount Plus. A very special episode because, well, joining me today, we've only got one of the most dominant young stars in the National Women's Soccer League firmament, the 22-year-old who's going toe-to-toe with Alex Morgan, going toe-to-toe with bloody everybody in the league's golden boot race, scourge to opposing defenders the league over, power, pace and a footballing IQ which belies her years. It is a genuine delight to welcome the crown jewel of Windsor, Colorado. It's Sophia Smith.
Hi, Rod. Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
I could not tell you how much I've been looking forward to this. And let's start back at the very beginning. You were born in the year 2000, actually one of the first players drafted into the league to be born in the post-99er era, which is mind-bending. And you've incredible. I love this. Apart from a tiny blip between 2012 and 2013, when the old league, WPS, was being reincarnated into the league we know now, NWSL, you have never lived, Sophia, in an America that didn't have a professional women's soccer league.
Yep.
What was your first experience of the professional game?
I feel very lucky to have not lived in a time without a professional women's soccer league, because I feel like the fact that that's, you know, how I grew up is how I was able to have the dreams that I had. So, I mean, I remember growing up watching all types of soccer. I mean, especially the women's national team.
You grew up post-dark ages, but what are your earliest memories? Who were your idols growing up?
I mean, Marta was always the player that I loved to watch the most, just because she's fun, creative, always did things that no one expected. So definitely Marta. And then, I mean, obviously, anyone who was on the women's national team when I was little. Alex, you know, obviously a big name, but she was and is good and scores goals in a way that I only hope to be able to do. So Alex, Pino, Tobin, all the forwards, Abby Wambach, Mia Hamm. I mean, I could go on.
Oh, you're playing all the hits, Sophia. But you hail from Windsor in North Colorado, which is just south of the Wyoming border, as does your good friend and national teammate, Jaylin Howell. So many Colorado representatives on the national team right now, the great Lindsay Horan, Mal Pugh. And I'm fascinated. Can you describe the soccer culture scene in Denver and explain why, in your mind, it's been such a pipeline for world beaters?
I don't think it's random. I think the clubs in Colorado, specifically Real, Colorado, where myself, Mal, and Jaylin, not Lindsay, came out of, I think they're just doing it right. And the coaches that they hire just know how to help players get to where they want to be.
Oh, and we all in the United States owe a debt of thanks to the greater Denver area and to your family. You come from something, it should be said, of a basketball family. Your father, Kenny, played for the University of Wyoming, Go Cowboys. Your older sister, Savannah, played at Northern Colorado. She was Big Sky Conference MVP in 2018. And your dad is on the record as saying that you, Sophia, could have been a D1 basketball player if you'd stuck with the game. Was that ever in your mind, pursuing basketball more seriously, following in the family tradition? Or for you, was it always going to be football?
When I was younger, it was pretty 50-50. Obviously, my sisters played basketball and my dad played basketball. It was really the thing I knew best. But then I remember the second I tried out for my first soccer team, started to, you know, get a hang of it, I realized this is what makes me happy. This is where I feel most free. Basketball has too many plays, too much structure. It just, yeah, it's not for me. And I realized that probably my sophomore year of high school, I had to decide because I was going into national team camps. It was getting hard to balance both. And yeah, for me, it was an easy decision. For dad, maybe it was a little tough for him to hear.
I always hate that moment in, you know, anyone's career when they have to decide because they've just been called into the national team camp in high school. But it was the improvisational nature of football that just spoke to your soul.
Yeah, I'm definitely a creative person who likes to have the freedom to try things. And I could do that in soccer differently than I felt I could do that in basketball, if at all.
I want to take a step back for a second to an inflection point in your development and one that I'm really intrigued to learn more about. It happened when you were 14. You moved from your local club, the mighty Arsenal Colorado, in nearby Fort Collins, to the elite Real Colorado in South Denver, which is an hour and a half drive that you and your mum started to make back and forth 4 to 5 times a week. Your mum actually switched jobs to fit the drive into her schedule. Did it feel like a sacrifice at the time? I'm sure at 14 years of age, you had so many bloody things you'd rather have been doing than sitting in a car for 3 hours a day.
Yeah, I mean, it was a sacrifice for everyone, not just me. I mean, my mom had to take the time. I wasn't old enough to drive yet, so she had to drive me. And most days, I had to leave my last class early. My mom would be outside of school waiting. We'd get in the car. I'd have to eat in the car, do homework in the car. A lot of days took 2 hours to get down there, and I would train. You know, my mom would just watch training for me. We'd drive home another hour and a half, eat dinner on the way. I'd have to have all my homework done on the way home. It was for sure a sacrifice. I was also trying to make sure that I got accepted into Stanford, so it wasn't like I was taking basic, easy classes. I was in hard AP classes, a lot of homework. So it was, yeah, sacrifice, but not really. When I knew what reward could come out of it and how much I love soccer, it was what I wanted to do. I wouldn't have, you know, wanted to do maybe what some would say normal high school things, like hang out with friends, go to parties, stuff like that. That wasn't me. I was a soccer player, and I wanted to, even at that age, I had a goal of being the best in the world, and I knew what it took to do that.
I love that. To have at age 14 that goal. Which brings us at that very age, that great Colorado and Malpute, who I think is 2 years ahead of you at Real Colorado, already, you know, locally famed and locally feared. And 1 year into your time at the club, she got her first call up to the senior national team. And so for you, with that mindset that you've just described, did that feel otherworldly when Mal was plucked from club team to national team? Or did that reaffirm your pathway that you felt like, that's going to be me?
Yeah, I think it reaffirmed it. I mean, you didn't see that happening a lot. You didn't see that young of a player getting called into the national team and, you know, let alone getting playing time. So to see Mal do that was amazing. I mean, she's someone that I've looked up to since I moved to Real Colorado. So to see her doing exactly what I wanted to do was just reassurance that I can do this.
And do it you did. And it didn't take you long to follow in Mal's footsteps, because at 16 years of age and 233 days old, if we're being accurate, you got your first call up to the senior team as well, a training camp in spring 2017. You're 16 years old, you're navigating high school, the AP classes, the throes of teenagehood, and suddenly you're flung into training, not only with women decades older, more experienced than you, but you're also taking the field with people like Carly Lloyd, Alex Morgan, players who, I mean, you already told us you idolized them growing up. Take us to that moment. What did that feel like?
I mean, it was all sorts of emotions. It was excitement, nervousness, a little bit of intimidation, a little bit of fear because I was 16 years old and I was going into train with players that I grew up watching and who were way older than me, who had way more experience. And it was in an environment that I knew was going to be hard. And the way I approached it was, this is a learning experience. I'm not going to dress. I'm not going to play. I'm just going to go there and learn and watch and observe the players that are doing what I hope to be doing one day. So it was, I mean, it was amazing. My roommate was Becky Sauerbrunn.
The people's roommate. You are 16.
Yeah.
What's it like sharing a room with a then 31-year-old age legend?
I got there and they said, yeah, your roommate's with Becky. And I think if it weren't for me, Becky would have had her own room because a lot of the veterans got their own rooms. I think her and Carly didn't have to have a roommate, but they had to put me somewhere. So they put me with Becky and I remember walking into the room and I was like, hi, I'm Sophie. And I like almost felt bad because I was like, this girl, there's just no way she wanted this responsibility to have the 16-year-old as her roommate. And I just like put my stuff down and like was quiet. And she was awesome. So nice, so welcoming. Any questions I had, she was ready to answer them and was definitely, you know, someone that helped me navigate through that first experience.
God, I mean, you could have had an ogre who could have been like, I don't want to hear from you, put your bags down, keep it on mute. But I mean, Becky Sauerbrunn, what a force of good.
Yeah.
Do you remember anything she told you, any advice that she gave you?
I mean, to just embrace the moment and to not feel super stressed because I really have nothing to lose. I just need to take each day as it is and learn and just be proud of myself that I'm there. And yeah, just to not stress I have a bad practice or this or that, because everyone's first camp, it's never easy. And so she was just someone that helped remind me of that and helped me get through.
I am fascinated. What was it like returning to high school after that experience? It's like that old bat mitzvah haiku. Today, I am a woman. Monday morning, I'm back in eighth grade maths class. How did you transfer from that incredible otherworldly experience to, you know, just being back in school?
I mean, it was interesting. I definitely had, you know, a lot of soccer friends who were like, when I got back, they were like, are you serious? Like, you just were in camp with these people? And it was just interesting because I felt like in camp, I was living the life I was supposed to live. And I was just super on top of the world. And then you kind of go back to school and you have to do homework, do all the boring stuff. So it was, it kind of sucked, honestly.
Yeah, I can imagine you standing up and just telling your teachers, Alex Morgan, don't have to do homework. What's with this? Yeah. I'm over it. I'm done. We're done here.
Yeah, it made me realize I was really excited for life post-school.
It is interesting. A senior national team call-up at 16 is perhaps the most extreme example of it. But Sophia, you've basically been playing up your entire life. Precocious talent and an August birthday mean that you've been facing off against players who are older, more experienced, often physically stronger on almost every single team you've played on. How has that shaped your game?
I mean, it's been everything for me. I think I'm always the youngest player on every team I'm on. So I've had to grow up fast. I've had to develop faster physically, mentally. I've had to understand the game at a higher level, even being a younger player. And I think that's helped me in more ways than I can even put into words, because it's a challenge and it's uncomfortable at times. And you just have to, I mean, I had to be okay with that because that was just the reality of it. And honestly, I enjoyed playing with players older than me because I felt like I was being challenged each and every day. It wasn't easy for me. And I knew that those are the positions I had to put myself into keep getting better, even if it wasn't super fun every single day, because yeah, they're physical, stronger. I mean, it was hard, but it's what helped me.
After high school came college. You went to Stanford, that ivory tower of women's soccer, and you only ended up staying for 2 years. But I do want to talk about your freshman season, because you broke your leg in the middle of the campaign, a terrible collision against Utah in October of that year. And the biggest injury of your career up to that point, you missed the entire back end of the season. And I think about this, you are a person who lives and breathes soccer. You've worked so bloody hard to get to that point. And to have it taken away like that, to be isolated from your new teammates, can you take us into that moment? What did you experience emotionally? And what did you learn from the experience?
You realize very quickly that you don't really know what to do without soccer. And you realize how much you love it and to not take it for granted, because when you can't play it for that long, it's tough. And you start to question, you know, why me? Why now? Will I ever be back to the player I was before I got injured? Will I ever be back healthy 100% again? All those things ran through my head all the time. But I remember just talking to teammates who have gone through injuries, and everyone would say, you have to take it day by day. You have to celebrate the little victories, like walking without crutches the first time, things like that. You had to celebrate and make a big deal out of them, because each step was huge and it was a long recovery. But I just tried to live in the moment and take each day as it came. The struggles, I would embrace them, because, you know, when you look back at it, you just are proud of yourself for getting through those. It was hard, but very rewarding. And I think I learned a lot about myself, because I've never had to go that long without playing soccer. You have to have patience and you can't rush things. I learned to trust the process and to trust the work that I'm putting in each and every day, that it will eventually pay off and get me back to playing. I learned to not take soccer for granted, even the days that were hard, fitness days, anything where I wanted to complain. I learned I honestly would rather be doing that than on crutches right now. But I learned a lot, and I think it was in some ways honestly good for me.
Spoiler alert, you bounce back. 17 goals the following season, including a hat trick in the College Cup semi-final against UCLA. Safe to say, you could have stayed at Stanford and experienced a wildly successful college career, but you elected instead to go into the 2020 NWSL college draft, forgoing your last 2 years at Stanford to start your professional career. How difficult was that call? And who did you process it with? How did you process it?
I knew always all along that I wanted to play professionally. And I think it was just figuring out when was the best time. So, I mean, there was thoughts of not going to college at all and going professionally straight out of high school.
To Mal Pugh.
Yeah, to Mal Pugh, Lindsay Horanit. I'm glad I went to college and got to have that experience that I did while I was there. I think I learned so much and developed as a player and a person so much in those 2 years. I think after the national championship, I knew that that was the moment. I was ready. I wanted a new challenge. I wanted to be a professional soccer player. I've always wanted to be one. And I knew that this was the time. And if I were to, you know, make that jump early at a young age, once again, it's challenging myself. It's putting myself in an uncomfortable position. And it's only helping me ultimately get to the goals that I have, which is to play with the senior national team, to be one of the best players to ever play the game.
Paramount Plus is your choice for championship soccer.
A messy tour de force!
Streaming the best teams and biggest stars in America and around the world.
Giant stars, huge action.
From UEFA Champions League and Serie A.
Weston McKennie!
NWSL and the CONCACAF World Cup qualifiers.
A milestone moment for the United States!
Plus the best action from South America and Asia.
Oh my, what a goal!
So how do you choose from so many champions? You don't have to. This is the best of CBS Sports. Streaming on Paramount Plus.
You know what feels even better than correctly predicting the outcome of a football game? Winning up to 100 times your cash while doing it. Cash in with your soccer knowledge on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, an enormous selection of players and stat types. That's what makes Prize Picks America's number one fantasy sports app. We love easy gameplay here at Men in Blazers. Just love it. Easy gameplay. Prize Picks offers weekly promotions and special offers for the biggest moments of the sports season. Look, for Everton fans, it's not been the easiest campaign, although it hasn't been the worst either yet. But one way to make those Sean Dyche-induced draws more exciting Prize Picks. Love smashing more on Jordan Pickford saves, less on Michael Keane passes completed, and much, much less on Beto goal contributions. Oh, it allows me to feel good about feeling bad. Download the app today and use code MIB for a first deposit match up to $100. That's promo code MIB. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. We will get back to that goal in just a minute. But on January 16th, 2020, you were selected by the mighty Paul and Thorns as the top overall pick in the 2020 NWSL College Draft. Take us back to that night and the emotions you experienced in that moment.
I mean, it was surreal. That's something that I dreamed of for so long. I could have my parents there. I've played against Portland with the, you know, youth national teams. I've played at Providence Park. I knew what it was like to be an opponent in that stadium, and I knew it was the best place to play in the league. I knew it was Soccer City, and that's where I wanted to be. So it was a dream come true.
That joy was short-lived. It pains me to even say it. The pandemic descended. The regular season was cancelled, and you had to sit out the 2020 Challenge Cup with an injury. Oh, you had to wait until September during the 2024 series to make your Thorns debut. And it took Sophia an eternity, all of 3 minutes, before you scored your first professional goal. What do you remember about that moment? The move from do I belong to my God? I just showed them I belong, and then some.
I mean, it was like picture perfect. The pandemic was hard. I was in a new city. I was by myself. You know, I didn't even have soccer. Everything was just put on pause for a very long time. So getting back to playing, being healthy, getting into the game and getting a goal was just a start. And it definitely gave me the confidence to know that I made the right decision. This is where I belong, and it can only go up from here.
A gorgeous flick of a header to send the ball lofting over the top of then Utah Royals goalkeeper Abby Smith. Do you remember what went through your head in that second? Was it pure joy, or was there a sense of relief as well, relieving some of the pressure of proving yourself as a rookie, redemption?
I would say more pure joy. I wasn't stressed about proving myself. I knew that I would, and that would come. It was pure joy.
It has to be said, Portland, one of the single greatest women's soccer fan cultures in the entire world. That atmosphere. But because of the timing of the pandemic, you always had a soft launch. Your entire first season as a professional was played behind closed doors. You scored that debut goal in an empty stadium. You wouldn't actually savour the true Portland experience until midway into the following season, when the club started to bring back capacity crowds. Was there a game or a moment that sticks in your mind when you finally understood what that Portland Thorn, Rose City Riveters Propel football truly felt like?
I mean, every game where we could start having fans back, I would say. It definitely took a little bit, I feel like, to get it back to how it normally is. There was a lot going on, but I think every game going forward from there has just, I mean, even to this day, has felt more and more like exactly what I pictured and exactly what I was waiting for. So it's every game I get to play in Providence Park with fans I never take that for granted. For me, it just feels like home. It feels like I feel like I can feel every single person in the stadium. I feel like I can feel their energy down on the field, their excitement, you know, when things go well, their frustration when things don't happen. But it just feels, it's like surreal. It's surreal to have that many people that care so much about the team and the game of soccer show up consistently for us. It's surreal. When we're struggling, maybe for a goal down, whatever it may be, the fans are still cheering. They haven't given up. They haven't lost hope. So I think when we hear that down on the field, it reassures us and, you know, makes us believe that this is not over. We also can't lose hope, because if this many people still believe that we can figure out how to get a result in this game, then absolutely we also have to believe that.
Yeah, Sophia, it's hard to believe this is only your second full NWSL season, because you've become, in 2 short years, really one of the league's must-watch characters, front and centre in any conversation about this NWSL season as you go toe-to-toe with Alex Morgan for the Golden Boot. Alex raced into the lead and you even joked early on, I think you tweeted at her, to slow down. Is that a strategy that you'd recommend to aspiring Golden Boot contenders in other leagues?
I would say it's a strategy. I mean, I love Alex off the field. She's a mentor for me. So it's just been fun, honestly. I mean, I remember when I tweeted that I think I had 2 goals in a game and I was like thinking, you know, before I left the field, I'm that much closer to her. And then I get my phone in the locker room and she scored 2 goals in the game that they're playing. So she's that much farther ahead. I'm just like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, I'm just trying to catch up and she keeps getting farther away. So it was a joke and it's friendly competition.
As we tape, you each have 11 goals on the season right now. I'm trying to get some sense of what does that feel like, 22 years old, matching your childhood idol goal for goal?
I was actually just texting Alex the other day. She texted me happy birthday and made a funny comment about the goals and catching up with her. When you think of a goal scorer, you think of Alex Morgan. So, yeah, to be in the position where I'm competing with her for the most goals is just, it's unreal. And it's an honor and it's exciting. And, I mean, it's if there's any person you want to be competing with, it's her, because I feel like it pushes me to be the best that I can be.
Alex is now often your strike partner for the national team. You've said that she's been your mentor. What's it like playing alongside her? What have you learned from her?
It's so fun to play with Alex. I mean, she's just, I just always know where she's going to be because she's always in the right place. So as a winger with the national team, you know, you're getting end line, you're getting crosses in. I feel like I'm at the point where I don't even have to look up because I know she's going to be there. And I just feel like with more and more games together, we will just continue to build that relationship and build that chemistry. And it's going to be really fun to continue to play with her and learn from her in practice, on the field, in games. It's so good for me to be playing with someone of that caliber.
Your goal-scoring rub, which is quite sizzling, what's that like? Baseball stars talk about how suddenly the ball just seems bigger when they're on a hitting streak. How have you experienced this goal-scoring streak?
I mean, I just feel like I'm not overthinking it. I feel like a lot of times as a young player, there's a lot of pressure. If you miss an open net or an easy chance, you don't forget about it. You have nightmares about it. So I've just tried to get out of that kind of train of thought and to stop overthinking anytime I'm in and around the goal and to just be confident. I think it's just important to be confident and to not overthink it because things happen. You miss chances. You're a human, still young, still learning, still growing.
The goal-scoring mindset, Sophia, there's some goal scorers who thrive with a little bit of extra time on the ball and some who need that immediate pressure to release, who freeze up almost if you give them too much time to think. Gerd Müller, the famous World Cup-winning German striker, once famously said about his approach to goal-scoring, he said, "If I think, it is too late." And I'm curious how you approach that and where you are on that spectrum, because one of the most remarkable parts of watching you, at least as a fan, is your quick release, how quickly you get your shot off.
Honestly, I love having 1, 2, 3 defenders on me because I feel like that's when I don't have time to think and that's when I just play and that's when I'm just Sophie and I just act and I just do what I know how to do. I think when you do have too much time, you start to overthink and think about every possible scenario of how you can get the ball in the back of the net. I think when I have defenders, there's probably 1, maybe 2 ways to get the ball in the back of the net, and you just have to decide, and you just have to think quick and put the ball in the back of the net.
I mean, are you thinking about, in those moments, this is my pathway to goal, I see it, I now need to execute? There was a goal you scored against North Carolina 2 weeks ago. It's truly Jason Bourne-esque what you do. You get the ball, you're smothered, you're surrounded by courage defenders. It's not a 1 versus 1. It's almost a 3 versus 1. Pretty well no one in their right mind would think, yep, I smell a goal coming. This is the goal-scoring opportunity. But you somehow just beat all 3 courage players, send it around the goalkeeper. Are you thinking when you get the ball in a situation like that, or is it just muscle memory and instinct?
I remember I got the ball and I saw, I was aware with who was around me, how much help I had. So I remember kind of thinking, how can I manipulate all three of these players into moving in one direction so that I can just, I'm the only one that knows that I'm going in the other direction. So that's, yeah, I was thinking during that one because I had to find a way to break through all three of them. And I remember, yeah, thinking if I can just get them all, you know, running this way, thinking I'm going this way and quickly go against the grain and get a shot off, they couldn't catch me.
Oh, it's not that you're just scoring at the club level. You scored your first goal for the US women's national team September 2021 against Paraguay. Oh, what's that feel like when you put the ball in the back of the net for your country for the very first time?
It's a different type of happiness scoring a goal for the national team because it's hard. It's hard to do. I'm not going to lie. It's not, you know, you're not scoring 2-3 goals a game with the national team. Like if you get a goal, it feels good and it feels like a relief. And if it's just fun and exciting and rewarding.
Yeah, you're not scoring 2 or 3 goals every game. However, as we tape, you, Sophia Smith, have 7 goals in 11 appearances in 2022 for the US women. Do you allow yourself to look ahead and think about the World Cup, which would be your first major global tournament?
For sure. I mean, I think in everything I do, that's in the back of my head because I know that every single thing I do every single day from here on out is leading into that World Cup and is playing a role in how I can contribute to the team in that World Cup if I make the roster. So I think it's always in the back of my head. It's a big deal and it's something that I've dreamed of being able to do since I touched a soccer ball. So I'm always thinking ahead to that because it's actually pretty close.
It should be clear to anyone listening to this podcast, you are a remarkably driven human being, remarkably disciplined too, and mature in ways that you've got every right not to be as a 22-year-old. But in spite of that, your game has such a palpable sense of fun to it. You love risk-taking on the field. And I'm fascinated, how do you balance those two impulses, risk and joy, and just discipline?
When I feel confident, I feel brave, and I feel like I can try things. And I think if I don't try things, I'm not gonna do things. Like if I want to score this goal or meg this person, I have to try it. I mean, nothing's gonna come of playing safe. And I have always been like that. I've always wanted to try things. I do love putting on a little bit of a show in Providence Park because the fans love it. So here and there, I will try to pull something off. And if it doesn't work out, I know it's okay. My team has my back and we go again. So I think the confidence to try things, the trust that my coaches and my teammates have in me, it's all of those things coming together that allows me to play free and be myself.
It's confidence, which you ooze just talking to you. I even feel better about my own self just by listening to you. Is it something that's natural or is it something that you constantly work on?
I think constantly working on it. I mean, I'm confident to a certain level naturally. I would hope, you know, most people are. But I think being an athlete and being so young, I'm constantly doubting myself or being shy, too scared to try things. I won't take my game to the next level. And it all comes back to that goal of wanting to be one of the best players in the world. And I know that I have to be confident to do that. And I'm allowed to be confident. And yeah, I think I've gotten better with not caring so much what other people think or have to say about me. It's still a work in progress, but I do think I'm getting better at that.
That there is one of the great secrets to life, to everybody's life, elite athlete or not. But there is, and you've highlighted this, so much pressure that comes with being quote unquote a young prodigy, something that your former Real Colorado teammate Mal Pugh has spoken about beautifully and candidly in the past couple of years. How have you personally coped with that pressure from other people? And even more importantly, the pressure that you put on yourself, Sophia, in terms of what you want to accomplish, how quickly you want to make it happen, how do you internally handle it?
I've gotten better with that. There was a time where I would probably overthink too much about, you know, if I didn't score in this game, what are people going to think? Like, are people going to think, oh, she's in over her head, she's not all that everyone says she is? I think there was a time where I thought too much about stuff like that. And I think I've just grown into more, I don't know, of a sense of just being happy with myself and where I am and who I am. And knowing that soccer is not everything, I love it. It's a big part of my life, but it's not me. I'm much more than soccer. And I think just finding that balance has helped me so much. Like, I'm happy outside of soccer. I feel like I found my place. I'm just taking each day as it is. I'm not looking too far ahead of in terms of what I want to accomplish, all the goals I have. I think I'm just living in the moment and enjoying it because I love the life that I get to live with right now. I mean, I'm living quite literally my dream that I've had.
Paramount Plus is your choice for championship soccer.
A messy tour de force!
Streaming the best teams and biggest stars in America and around the world.
Giant stars, huge action.
From UEFA Champions League and Serie A.
Weston McKennie!
NWSL and the CONCACAF World Cup qualifiers.
A milestone moment for the United States!
Plus the best action from South America and Asia.
Oh my, what a goal!
So how do you choose from so many champions? You don't have to. This is the best of CBS Sports. Streaming on Paramount Plus.
It's Rog here to tell you about a product that I simply adore. It's been a long time staple in the Bennett refrigerator, Stoke Cold Brew Coffee. Always bold, always smooth. Yes, that is the very same Stoke as in the mighty Wrexham Fortress, known as the Stoke Kairas or the Stoke Racecourse, Wrexham AFC's home. They support it. They support football, which is just one great reason to love this coffee. It is my go-to enjoy during the football calendar, essentially the opposite of Everton. And you can check out their full lineup of 48 ounce cold brew products, something for everybody, from light to dark roast to seasonal favorites, in a refrigerated multi-serve format. I tell you this as someone whose blood type is now officially Stoke espresso blend. Have the coffee house experience in the comfort of your own home and do it now. Stoke Cold Brew Coffee, and be sure to follow Wrexham AFC. Big love to all at Stoke. Courage. So here we are. World Cup 2023 is on the horizon. A lot of people that we've learned do not listen to, pundits and players alike, have been talking about the youth of this current US team. And that classic paradox of you can't get tournament experience without going into tournaments inexperienced. How do you process that on the national team or elsewhere, that lack of experience? Or is that kind of the very challenge which is driving you in this moment?
Yeah, I mean, I think that is one of the biggest challenges, because it's true. This national team is young. There's a lot of us who don't have experience in big tournaments where a World Cup or an Olympics are on the line. So I think we need that time together. We need the experience together. The national teams in the past that have been as good as they are, it's because they have had time together. They've built those relationships. They have the chemistry on and off the field. Everything that they do flows, and it's because they've had the time and had the tournaments and the games to build that. So I think with this younger team, it will take time. But I think once it starts clicking, and I think it already has started to do that a little bit, it's going to be so fun. And I mean, I just can't wait. I think a lot of people, you know, are maybe doubting the national team right now because it is young and it may not look like what it has always looked like. But I think it's a work in progress. And this, I mean, it takes time to build a team that's the best in the world. And we want to continue that legacy because that's what this team has always been. And it's a lot of pressure, but it's exciting and something that I know all the younger players are super excited to be a part of.
Sophia Smith, it has been an absolute delight to be able to listen to you. And last question before we close for the week. You said at top in the interview that your ultimate goal was to be the best in the world, which, God, it's an incredible ambition even to articulate. So let me ask you, what does that look like to you? Is it a World Cup golden boot? Is it the Ballon d'Or? Is it just the knowledge that you can be any defender anywhere in the world in a one-on-one? When you close your eyes and you think about being the best in the world, what do you see?
I mean, I see all those things. I try not to care too much about any type of award because those happen and they don't. I think I just see myself at the end of my career having done what no one else has done and just being a player that's really fun to watch. And honestly, I think while that is my biggest goal, I think putting it in perspective, my goal is to be the best player that I know I can be. And if that's the best in the world, that's awesome and amazing. But if that's just being Sophia Smith, I'll be happy either way.
God, to be the best Sophia Smith that you can be. It is a joy, really, a wonder to speak to you. Sophia Smith, Godspeed.
Thank you.
Sophia Smith, what a human being. And that is it for this week. Only one NWSL game this weekend. That is the bad news because the league is taking a pause for Labor Day. We are blessed with Gotham against North Carolina Courage Sunday, 5 p.m. Eastern Time, streaming on Paramount Plus. Go to paramountplus.com/MIBTWG. That's MIBTWG to try it free on us. Bonus reminder, Paramount Plus will also be streaming, this is incredible, the Women's Super League in England this season, which starts up next weekend, September the 10th, where Tottenham will take on Manchester United. We will be back next week. Until next time, courage. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Men in Blazers ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
If you travel for work, you know to pack 2 suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know business.